Welcome to this edition of the Rare Business Podcast. With me today, I have Henry Stewart of Happy. Henry, welcome to our podcast this week.
Hi there.
Hi. Now, Henry, tell us a little bit about yourself, if you will. Introduce yourself to our readers and our listeners.
Okay. I'm an entrepreneur. I set up Happy 20 years ago in my back room in Hackney. And it trains people in IT, making it fun and involving, and trains people to make it great, happy workplaces.
You talk about Happy. I mean, where did Happy start? I mean, did Happy start with computers and then move into workplaces, or what? Where was the horse and where was the cart, as it were?
Yeah, we started as Happy Computers. That was making learning about IT being involving and fun, because at the time, a lot of IT training didn't seem that way. So we our first 10 years and more were spent doing that. We started to win awards for best customer service in the UK, being one of the UK's best workplaces. So our clients started to ask us about training them in how to run their organisations. And that's how we expanded into Happy Workplaces.
That's fantastic. Now, unfortunately, I know that you had a book launch a week ago,
yeah.
And unfortunately, I couldn't make it. And you've just published a book called The Happy Manifesto. Now, tell us a little bit about it. I mean, I must say my copy did arrive this morning, and I've had a quick flick through. I like the cover, because it's got a big sun on it, which is quite nice.
Yes.
So, the cover was chosen
by popular vote.
Fantastic.
I went out to all the people who downloaded it from my website, which is about 600, and got them to vote on which cover they'd prefer, and that was the one that won.
Fantastic. So you crowdsourced your cover?
Crowdsourced the cover. We've also crowdsourced funding for the book, because the publishing costs have been entirely met by people advance buying in 20 at a time.
Fantastic. That's tremendous. So tell us a bit about the Happy Manifesto. This sounds like a bit of a start of the... It's almost like you want to change the world in a way.
Of course we do. We want to change the way people work so that everyone is aware that you can have happy workplaces where people are fulfilled, where they're trusted, they're given the freedom they need to do the job with the highest expectations. And we want to shift away from any remaining command and control and micromanagement to this more effective approach.
Why do you think that happiness is so important? I mean, happiness. Do you think happiness is related to sort of? Engagement is a big word that gets floated around quite a lot these days. Whether it's customer engagement or employee engagement, I mean, do you see there's a real connection between happiness and engagement?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, how engaged and motivated people are at work is crucial. We were recently involved in an opinion poll which asked people, do you go to work to be happy or just to pay the bills? Guess what percentage said they came to work just to pay the bills? Now, when I ask people, they generally say, 40%, 60%, something like that. The percentage that comes to work just to pay the bills is 2%, according to that opinion poll. Over 90% regard this as very important or quite important, that they're happy. And it makes a difference. The point I start from is that people work best when they feel good about themselves. And when I ask people if they agree with that, the vast majority do. But the follow-up question, which is in the book, is if that statement is true, that people work best when they feel good about themselves, what then is the point of management?
Right.
By simple logic, point of management should be to make people feel good about themselves. So let's forget all the highfalutin stuff and just get managers focused on making people happy.
Excellent. So which is completely almost anathema to the very sort of scientific or command and control sort of approach of some traditional management techniques.
I guess so. I have heard they ask one or two companies that don't focus on making people happy, but, you know, I want to get to the point where they are the exception. I'm obviously tongue-in-cheek there, but the old Taylorism, is obviously the opposite of this. You know, I think it was in the Ford factory in the 30s, you could actually be sacked for laughing.
Right.
Our view is obviously the opposite of that, that if people are enjoying their work, are well motivated, and are clear on what's expected of them, and absolutely accountable for the results that they produce, then you create a much more effective workplace. And some of the best companies in the world, people like Google and W.R. Gore and even Microsoft, absolutely recognise this and focus on creating great workplaces.
So you would suggest that, you know, there's some people that deride a lot of the softer style or softer stuff in management and leadership as being mushy nonsense. And is that because they're just uneducated, or they just don't see the real business benefits of that?
They're sadly misguided. let me quote the research by Edmonds at the Wharton School in the States, who asked the question, okay, we've had the best workplace list for 25 years now, the best places to work in the US, in the UK, everywhere else. What would happen if over that 25 years, each year, you'd invested in those 100 best workplaces, or at least the ones that are on the stock market? And what happens if you compare that to investing in the standard stock market? Let's look for the real financial evidence, he said. And it's a very thorough economic study. And he found that if you'd invested in the best workplaces, you would get a four-factor alpha of 3.5% a year. Now, I didn't know what a four-factor alpha was, and that's just this, but it's apparently the difference between what you get in the stock market and what you get investing in this list. That means that over 25 years, if your pension would have turned out £100,000 investing in the standard stock market, if you'd invested in the best workplaces, it would have returned £230,000. Now, for any financial director or financial analyst, that's a pretty persuasive case that actually deciding, as for instance Google and Microsoft both did about 5 years ago, that their strategic imperative was to create one of the best workplaces in Europe, that's a pretty sensible financial decision.
Absolutely, that's tremendous. That is tremendous. I mean, and I know that when we've talked before, we share some a book in common that we really love, and you in the book you doff your cap to Ricardo Semler's book Maverick, which was published was it late 80s, early 90s?
92, 93, I think it was.
92, 93.
And I remember that well because at the time I only had 3 staff, and I was a typical stressed out small businessman. You remember I used to ring back every day from holiday to check everything was okay. And then I read Maverick and discovered there was a different way of running things. Maverick's written by the Brazilian Ricardo Semler.
Yeah.
And describes how he took over his dad's company, a company where workers were searched on the gates every night, such was the lack of trust, and turned it into an entirely trust-based workplace where workers set their targets, organised their work, even set their own salaries often, and this company became the most popular company for people to work for in Brazil. And also very successful.
And became recession busting and delivers double digit growth year on year and has
absolutely
and has a queue of people waiting to work for them and all sorts of different things.
Yeah, I mean, that I regard as the best, most inspirational business book ever written, and I've given away over 500 copies of it myself. Everyone at Happy gets a copy of that when they join.
Well, that's fantastic. I mean, I must say it was probably one of the first proper business books that I read that wasn't, if you like, a textbook.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, when I read it, and I still remember the impact it had now, I just thought,
yeah,
oh my God, blimey. Can this really...
Absolutely, just by that. It's like everything you assumed about business, you know, stop those assumptions. It can be done in a completely different way.
Absolutely. And so in the book, I mean, it breaks everything down. I mean, the manifesto is basically a 10-point manifesto. And you go through all the different 10 points. And it's there. You can go to the back of the book and the 10 points, I mean, it's actually very, it's all quite straightforward. I mean, Is it that easy?
It's not easy. We're still working on it after 20 years, but it's a lot easier to run a business this way than it is any other way. One of the key things it does as a manager is it takes away lots of the stress. It takes away lots of the pressure. You don't have to do it all. You know, you get people involved because not only does it take the burden off you, but it makes for better results and more engaged people. They are straightforward, but I only wish more companies used them. 10 simple principles.
And I think that's absolutely right. I mean, and I'm a great fan of simplicity and boiling things down to their essence to make them easy to understand and easy to implement. And it seems to me that there might be many companies and sort of many people that might need to, if you like, unlearn or forget some of the things that they've been taught.
Well, that's true, and it comes down to, I think a lot of the problem is even that we're not taught that much. You know, a lot of people become managers and kind of, it's like I worked for a company back in 87, which, you know, I think is mentioned in the book, where none of the people had any management training. And I always imagine the only example he had of management was from watching Dallas, which many of your listeners won't remember now, but was where manager chefs at each other a lot. And that is the kind of, we go by the examples we've had, and not many people have had high quality management training based on these kind of ideas. So it's not the fault of managers in any sense if they're not doing it in a way which really excites people. But the other point which might be very strong in the book is not everybody who is managing should be managing.
Ah, that's interesting, because I mean a lot of people become managers almost through sort of length of tenure or a number of qualifications they have.
Exactly. Or their core skills. I often say our most radical belief is that you should choose who should manage people based on how good they are at managing people.
Right.
And that is strangely rare in our businesses and organisations, but it's simple common sense. And I outline in the book how organisations are much more effective when they can find two promotion tracks. You know, one for core skills, one for managing people. So somebody, you know, who's brilliant at coding, you know, in the traditional thing, a brilliant programmer will be eventually promoted to program manager, because the fact they're great at coding is sure to mean they're great at nurturing and supporting people.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Well, that wouldn't happen, say, at Microsoft, where they understand the difference, and they would value that person and promote them and reward them and involve them in key decisions, but they wouldn't put them in charge of anyone unless they were good with people.
Yes, absolutely. So what actually happens if you truly implement the manifesto? I mean, what happens to your business in terms of productivity, growth, customer retention, all of that type of good, you know, good, hard business stuff?
Our experience is it all improves, because we've had the good fortune now to work with companies where the chief executive has come to us and said, I love these ideas, how do you implement them in our business? And examples like Able & Cole, the organic box delivery company, which grew from 3 million to 10 million to 20 million over while we were working with them. And I'm not saying we're responsible for that growth, but what we were responsible for was, you know, the managing director, Ella Heeks, will tell you that before that, she was incredibly overworked. She was taking all the decisions herself because she felt that was her responsibility, not even because she thought she made best decisions, which is a normal manager thing, but, you know, and moved it to one where people were much more involved, where there's far less stress on her, but it was a much bigger and more successful business. Or another example is Cougar Software, who took on our philosophy. And when I ring Clive, the managing director, he often describes himself as having very little to do now, because everything, full responsibility has been taken by the company, and it's grown and developed, and the service levels are way beyond anything they achieved beforehand.
Right. I mean, and so in a way, I mean, it seems like that this type of approach, because it's all about people, and
yeah,
it's about how people are with each other, whether it's inside your business or, you know, when you interact with your stakeholders or your customers, it seems like if you've already got the people there, then it's going to be quite a cost-effective thing to implement, particularly in the straitened times that we find ourselves in.
Yes, I mean, if you're talking about what is the most cost-effective way to improve productivity in your organisation, this must be it, because it's actually not talking about spending fortunes. It's about simply changing the way you work so that people are trusted more and are given more responsibility. And, you know, the easiest bit is when you're running the organisation and can easily change everything. But I've got several people who, you know, we're in touch with who are in the middle of an organisation and are seeking to change it from the middle, which, and are seeing some real effects, some real positive effects.
Yeah, so it doesn't necessarily need to be a whole company initiative. It could be a departmental initiative as well.
Could be a departmental initiative. It could even be achieved by influencing your manager and their manager and getting them to adopt these kind of ideas and just making clear, you know, you want the organisation to be more productive and more effective, and this seems to be a sensible way to do it.
And does creating these type of organisation, does it have real impact on improved, say, service and also innovation as well?
Absolutely. You know when you're talking to somebody on the phone from an organisation where people are treated badly, you can hear the stress and the tension in their voice. And you know similarly when you talk to someone, to an organisation where, you know, people are really well treated. And you know, I love ringing First Direct, you know, where I know people are well treated and where they have a real dedication to helping you. There's not enough of those kind of organisations. Certainly in terms of innovation, I mean, one of my favourite organisations is W.L. Gore, which is responsible for football, for Gore-Tex. And they, like Happy, are an organisation where you can choose your own manager, for instance.
Right.
Where the person gets to choose who manages them, where people have huge control over the way they work. And Gore was rated the most innovative company in the entire United States a couple of years back. Because one question I often ask is, would you like your organisation to be more innovative? And of course, all the hands go up, everyone says, yes, we would. And then I ask, do the levels of approval that you have in your organisation at the moment help you achieve that? And very, very few people say yes to that, because they know that the fact everything has to be approved and reapproved and goes through the manager and the manager's manager deadens innovation.
Sure.
Whereas the kind of idea I talk about in the book, pre-approval, where you prove it, the idea, before they thought of it.
Right.
You set the framework and you approve them to do it without coming back to you, certainly creates far more innovation than the normal way of going through all these levels of approval.
That's fascinating. So I've been watching a little bit listening to a little bit of the news today, and they're just about to be announced that we're under sort of threat of, here in the UK at least, of edging back into a recession in 2012. So, I mean, I would suggest from sort of reading sort of the book and listening to you talk is that actually one of the things, rather than being down in the mouth about all of that, that one of the things that we should do within our businesses is to actually strive to make them a more happy place, because actually that's probably our best recipe for success.
It is. It'd be nice if the government adopted a few sensible policies to increase demand in the economy rather than slashing like mad and cutting 500,000 jobs. But within the situation that we've got, you know, working towards happier workplaces and more fulfilled organisations is A, going to make them better to be in, but B, stand a better chance of surviving and prospering in any recession that comes along.
That's fantastic. Thank you for that. So, I mean, that's a really clear sort of message. So,
thank you.
Henry, in the interest of sort of time, I mean, I know that you're a busy guy, but in this day and age, I mean, it seems that we're in an age where information and points of view and opinions and things are so abundant. How do you keep up with all of the stuff that's out there, or do you not? I mean, do you trust your own voice, and shut yourself off, or what do you do to keep up, or keep up to date, or help you stimulate your own sort of thinking about this to keep yourself moving forward?
Well, okay. I always used to be a great fan of business books, so I don't find so much time to read them now. But I'm a bit of a Twitter-holic myself.
Okay.
So I'll Twitter-holic.
Yes.
Twitter. I'll open up my Twitter list and I'll see, every day get a dozen links to really exciting articles and stuff that's going on out there. I'm also very keen on the Silicon Roundabout phenomenon. We're just on the edge of Silicon Roundabout.
Right.
And I've started going along to their events, and there is a tremendous level of excitement. It is a very positive vibe. Tonight I'm going to an event on content and community.
Right.
I've got to start a group of a dozen startup CEOs. We just launched a new startup to help people find, organize, and share the best free learning on the web. That's called LearnFit, if anyone wants to try it out. Those are my main two things at the moment. Lots of networking and lots of tweeting.
Fantastic.
And I'm at Happy Henry, if anybody wants to follow me.
Fantastic. Well, I shall make sure you get all linked up in the in the write up for the post that accompanies the podcast. But what I always do, Henry, at the end of every podcast, I ask people this one question, and it is, what would you like to shamelessly plug?
Well, I would like to shamelessly plug the book, The Happy Manifesto. Buy a single copy from Amazon, or buy dozens of copies direct from us. And I'd also like to shamelessly plug the new website, www.learnfiz.com, which is about finding, as I say, great free learning. If you want to learn something like, how to give an appraisal or how to give a presentation, if you go to Google, it will actually normally come up with lots of people trying to sell you stuff. But the web is full of free learning, so we're creating a very exciting site to try and find and share that. And I'd encourage people to go and take a look at that.
That's fantastic. Well, I'll get that link from you, and I'll also put links to Amazon so where people can get hold of the book, and plus also your Twitter account and the Happy website as well. But
okay,
Henry, I congratulate you on your mission to make the world and business a happier place. I think it's a laudable objective, and if you ever need any help, then you can call on me.
Absolutely, yes.
Well, thank you for your time today, and thank you for sharing some thoughts with us. And I look forward to putting this, the podcast up, and seeing, getting some feedback from our readers.
Excellent. Okay, let me know as soon as it goes up.
Fantastic, will do.
Great, Adrian. That was a lot of fun.